And welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, also Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio. And Bill, I want to get back to this woke thing. Good article from, ChristianPost.com, Leonardo Blair.
Writes a very interesting article. How about taking power naps?
No, this is about waking up from.
Oh, the Great Awakening?
Not so Great Awakening. This is the not so Great Awakening. Two things are happening simultaneously right now. Christianity as a cultural influence is dying out after 1,000 years in the Western world. But a new religion has got to take its place. And at least this element, this edition of that religion is called woke. Bill, it's a revival. It's an awakening.
It's a humanist revival.
It's a humanist revival, exactly. Worthless, destructive, yes. Nevertheless, a humanist awakening.
Because
that's what woke
is. It's a path to salvation. If we merely change the language, if we merely get people to think a certain way, it's no different than the hope in education that was touted back in the 30s and 40s, that if we can just educate people, then they will do right. If we change the language, people will do right. And so we can create a utopian society.
This article is referring to a survey that was done just a few weeks ago. It was really recent, on wokeness. And a new USA Today Ipsos poll is showing that the Americans' view of woke is actually fairly positive. Overall, 56% of respondents described wokeness as being informed about social injustices, while 39% says it involves being overly politically correct and policing others, meaning it has more of a negative connotation. A vast majority of Democrats like it, of course. Most Republicans, 56%, said wokeness means being overly politically correct, but the independents are pretty much going for it. So it means independents seem to be leaning left.
And what it seems to be saying. The sample included about 300 of each group.
Yeah, it
Democrats,
did.
Republicans, it did. And self-proclaimed independents.
Right, exactly. Younger respondents were more likely to view the term positively than older ones. No surprise there at all. They've been carefully educated on the issue, of course. However, when asked about what it meant to be woke, a higher percentage considered the characterization to be an insult rather than a compliment. It's interesting. Some 60% of Republican respondents view being called woke as an insult. 46% of Democrats see the term as a compliment. Well, interesting. Now, here's a book written on the subject, Christianity and Wokeness. Owen Strachan, his provost and research professor of theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Arkansas, he says there's a slithery hiss of the movement, which he believes a threat to the Christians and, quote, white people. Strachan, an outspoken opponent of critical race theory, argues that it produces a mindset of wokeness that seeks to exact reparations from white people for the sins of their forebears. He also calls for unrepentant church leaders who embrace wokeness to be excommunicated from the church. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like rolling up the sleeves and saying, "This is war.
This is war.
This is bad." You think this is bad stuff, don't you, Bill?
I do.
Because stinks to high heaven.
Language matters, and as you change language and you get people to change their language, they change their worldview, and when their worldview changes, it's usually at odds with a biblical worldview.
So what is this woke? I mean, it's critical race theory, intersectionality. We've talked about these things a number of times on this program. Woke is a revival. As we've mentioned, it's a humanist awakening. To awake is to revive. It's to awake to the salvation of racism, Marxism, the redistribution of wealth, and this atoning work of humanist man. It's a religion. It is a religion. It's a religion that has an ethical theory. Wokeness has an ethic. Now, evangelical Christianity does not have much of an ethic. It's pretty much denied the law of God. But wokeness does have an ethic, as does the Muslim religion. Almost every religion has something of an ethic, except for evangelicals. And I'm not sure what evangelicals are doing. It's kind of a vacuity in terms of thought. There's very little thought coming out of evangelicals. But wokeness is an intelligent ethical theory. It's a religious theory. It's a theory concerning natural man, and it's concocted by natural man in rebellion against God. This is Man is born upright, but he's turned to many inventions. That's Ecclesiastes. This is just another invention. What is wokeness? Woke is defining a sin and then explains how we atone for that sin. That's it. That's what the religion is, and that's what most religions do.
But there's no atonement. Under wokeness, there's no atonement.
Absolutely.
That's the problem. And that's one of the clear distinctions, because biblical Christianity does offer salvation. It does offer hope. It does offer a unity around truth, whereas wokeness seeks to divide people groups specifically, and there is no hope for ever atoning for your sin.
Perfectly atoning, because atonement is reparations. I mean, the reparations is there.
I can't change my skin color.
Well, that's true too.
My whiteness is condemning me because I'm utterly incapable of being anything but a racist.
But the point is, they will attempt a reparation, and then after that, they will still continue to
condemn me.
To condemn, right?
Yeah.
And it's a blame shifting. It's a pushing the blame towards somebody for all the sins of the world. Scapegoating. Man's very good at blame shifting, scapegoating. That's what natural man does. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with guilt? Man always has to divert his guilt problem before God, because that's where we start. We all start with a guilt problem. Well, how do we do that? By blame shifting, by scapegoating. This is what he does. He concocts his own autonomous ethic, that is, his own law. That is, whiteness is evil.
Right.
And slavery is evil, is a sin. Slavery is a sin. Now, that's part of their ethic. Now, biblically, I think there's elements of slavery that are sinful, and we can get to that. But that's one of their assumptions. Now, I suppose if you enslave white people, that would be okay.
Right.
You know, in other words, you start getting into ethical theory, and you're going to wind up, you know, in all sorts of areas, because most of the time, the ethics of natural man is somewhat relative and it shifts constantly. But it's autonomous ethic. The point is, they're not going to the law of God to determine whether or not slavery is right or wrong. For example, would they go to the Word of God to determine whether somebody who robbed a bank and had to repay that should go to a prison and work it off in somewhat of a slave-based environment? Okay, that's initially what prisons were about.
Right.
You ask somebody of a Marxist position, of a humanist, wokist religion, whether or not that's right or wrong, and I don't know what they would say, but I do know that we can go to the Word of God as the source of defining what is right and wrong, and in strong terms, say this is right and this is wrong. We can do that. They can't. Their ethic is arbitrary. It's always arbitrary. Why? Because man is trying to divert his guilt problem. It's all diversion. Bill, this is all diversion. He's developing his own idea of sin. He wants to punish a class of people. The wealthy class, always the most convenient class to punish. Occasionally, powerful governments conduct genocides as a means of atonement or as a means of punishing a certain class. This is what people have done because they won't define the problem by God's law and describe the solution in Jesus Christ. This is a denial of the gospel. And I think this Owen Strachan person probably has it right in that he says this is a denial of the gospel message, the very message of the Word of God, the substance of what the Word of God says about our faith. And for that reason, people who maintain a woke theology, a woke definition of right and wrong, a woke definition of atonement or salvation or punishment of the evil, are just not Christians. They're just not Christians. They're taking up a different religion.
You make it all about the nature of God and the nature of man. And they look at the nature of man and they say that there are certain people who are pure and certain people who are not. It's really the opposite of the Aryan race theory that Hitler provided.
Right. So
that if
similar,
you are
right,
black,
sure,
you are innocent.
Sure.
You cannot possibly be a racist. You cannot possibly hate people.
Right.
But if you're white, you cannot possibly be free of racism. Mm-hmm. And so we have to punish you. We have to extract
indefinitely
a penalty from you. You have to do penance.
Right. Forever and ever.
Yes. So it's a matter of salvation by works, but you can't work enough.
Right.
And that's the problem with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, friends, two problems. One is we can't be establishing the sinfulness of our forefathers by Marx's law. We have to establish the sinfulness of ourselves or even our forefathers as we study history by God's law. And the problem is most Christians have denied God's law. They don't want to talk about God's law. They want to use Marxist law to define right and wrong. So that's the first issue. You have to establish the sinfulness of your forefathers or yourself or anybody else by God's law. That's the standard. And then secondly, woke is wicked because it's against God's law to punish the great-great-grandchildren for their grandparents' sin.
Right.
That's another problem. So, and we've already done entire programs on that issue, so I'm not coming back to that. These churches are incredibly vulnerable to attacks from Satan, and make no mistake about it, churches that buy into this are buying into deception of Satan himself. That's the critical race theory. That's intersectionality. These new ethical categories of sexual identity and orientation or social justice are just little hand grenades meant to destroy unity in the nation, but ultimately bring in autonomy and redefine what is right and wrong by Karl Marx and not by the Word of God. And that, my friends, is a fundamental error. The perception of marginalization or stratification, of course, is a very, very subjective thing. The assumption that all inequality is evil is just Marxism, right? The idea that any form of economic inequality, even if, you know, the average income of the average Hispanic or the average income of the average Tibetan immigrant to America is less than the average white or the average Oriental or the average, to draw that conclusion that that's wrong, that's evil, that's sinful, is just clearly Marxism. That's right. Not the Word of God. That's an arbitrary determination of what is right and wrong, and it's the imposition of Marxism upon our economy. The definition of equal opportunity is very slippery. Again, none of this submits to the laws of God as the basis of morality. And that makes for a demonic strategy. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back again to woke and wokeism. A wrong religion. A really bad religion. It's the other faith. More on that next on Generations.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
Back on Generations, wokeism taking over the country, taking over the Western world. A basic assumption that this is a right view of the sins of the nation and the solution, the salvation for a nation. And the majority of Americans considering wokeism basically a positive thing. But it's a demonic strategy. It's confusing. It's intended to obfuscate any kind of truth, disable unity in the church, and of course to create more revolution, more class envy, more racial disunity. We've been playing this game since the 1840s. This is Karl Marx. This is what he's been doing to disrupt humanity. Karl Marx called himself Apollyon, by the way. Read about that in Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. He called himself Apollyon, considered himself to be the destroyer, and understood that his agenda was destructive. And that's what Marxism does. It destroys family. It destroys society. It introduces feminism. It introduces class envy. It brings about revolutions. It never solves any problem. It just destroys nations. That's what it's all about. Marxism is here to destroy churches. Marxism is here to destroy unity of a nation. Marxism is here to destroy a free economy. Marxism is nothing but destructive. That's what it does, because it abandons a biblical world and life view, certainly a biblical ethic. According to critical race theory, the sin is white people have more privilege and power and money than people of color, and that's apparently just wrong. They take the average amount of money, the average amount of power that a particular group has. Now, sometimes people do this with Jews as well. You've heard this with Jews. It's because Jews have more money and more power than everybody else. That's just evil. And so we need to go after them.
For example, that may have brought
about more of what Hitler did.
Louis Farrakhan just recently touted that at a big convention, which was not covered by the press.
Mm-hmm.
But he blames the Jews and for everything, just as Hitler did. Louis Farrakhan from the Nation of Islam.
This is just insidious racism. To destroy unity, to destroy nations. That's what CRT is all about. The assumption that Jews or white people have more privilege and power and money than people of other colors. It's ridiculous. Now, the assumption, of course, is hatred of people of color is endemic in our system, created by people of certain color. Now, the logical fallacies abound here. Now, the answer to this is, how do you know? Where's your data? How would you ever prove this? That's what the devil does. The devil produces an unprovable proposition and then gets all kinds of adherents to throw their body over hand grenades to defend it. Logical fallacies abound, as in guilt by association. The free market was developed by people of a certain color, and people of a certain color are just evil, so the free market must be hateful. The public schools were developed by people of a certain color. And these people of a certain color are evil, so these systems must be hateful. The U.S. Constitution was developed by people of a certain color, and these people are evil, so it must be hateful. The Bible is translated in English by people of a certain color, so it must be hateful. This is the logical fallacy that just continues in the minds of these folks, and it's illogical, it's irrational, but it's really what the devil does best.
Yeah. They deny Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We all stand on an equal plane before God in need of a Savior.
We're all sinners.
I am not righteous because of the color of my skin or the color of my eyes or the lack of my hair or my sex. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Now, we have different roles, we have different responsibilities, but we are not equal in outcome in the sense of this world. We are equal in outcome before God if we have put our trust in Jesus Christ.
We're all sinners, Bill, and you know that there are cultural sins that sometimes characterize a certain cultural group. But even then, you have to be careful not to stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, we've always been cautioned not to stereotype just because, you know, this particular sin sort of characterizes this people. All right, so what? We're all hell-deserving sinners here, standing under the cross of Jesus, in need of the mercy of God for our salvation and for our justification.
We don't condemn a culture that used to be cannibals.
Yeah.
Now that they have come to Christ.
Well, that too. And there's all the hope in the world for the transformation of these peoples,
right. Whatever
their sins happen to have been. And yeah, okay, white people have sins. So do black people. So do Hispanic people. All of us have sins. And maybe we are characterized by a certain kind of sin. We don't need to get into all of these tertiary issues. Rather, the big issue is that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life for any of us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And it's the individual that matters. It's not the group. That's an evolutionary construct. It's only the group that matters, evolution says. We're willing to sacrifice the individual. The individual is but a cog in the machine. But Jesus came to die for the individual, not for the group. Came to die for Kevin, came to die for Bill. And it is the individual is supremely important to our Creator.
And his bride, the church, is supremely important. Where there is no sacrificial love, where there's no commitment to God's law, where there's no discipleship in the commands of God's law, there's going to be compromise, division, explosions in the church. That's what we're coming down to. It's a lack of discipleship in the church. Racial tensions in the church, there shouldn't be. That's ridiculous. There shouldn't be any racial tension in the church. There should be no cultural differences or battles over cultural differences. There are cultural differences. Some eat meat, some don't. Romans 14, there should be liberty. But we all stand under the cross of Jesus Christ. There are certainly matters that are of, you know, adiaphora, no real difference in terms of sinfulness. But there are cultural differences within the church, but we need to respect that.
And you don't realizing, need a Sunday school class to highlight those cultural differences.
No, we
and
don't.
Talk about
no,
them.
We don't. The big issue is what? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The big issue is not the cultural differences, not that this guy eats sushi and the other guy, you know, eats spaghetti. Who cares? Bottom line is we're all sinners. We've broken God's laws, all 10 of the commandments. And yet we have salvation through Jesus Christ. He transforms us by giving us new life, enabling us to rise up and walk in newness of life. You know what's interesting, Bill, is I'm just saying this is happening. I've got you know, red and yellow, black and white in my discipleship groups now.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than I ever have. And there is absolutely zero attention paid to our skin color. I mean, it's like non-issue. We are all sinners,
yes,
and we have been saved by the same Savior. Hallelujah. We're on the hallelujah side of the Red Sea, as my Hispanic brother likes to remind me of. And you know what? We don't care about cultural differences. No big deal. When cultural differences is the big issue, somebody's missing the gospel.
Right.
Somebody's missing the big issue.
And we can celebrate the cultural differences. We can encourage people to keep distinctives that make their heritage rich. But when it comes to Christ, we lay aside all of our pride, all of our, well, I am from this group of people. And we confess that we are all, as you pointed out, sinners in need of a Savior. And we are new creations in Him. We are part of the new group of people that is neither Jew nor Greek nor male nor female. We are in Christ.
The Christian church should just utterly repudiate the class envy that arises between rich and poor, between the bond and the free, those in debt bondage, those out of debt, those who grew up in Mexican culture, those who grew up in Minnesota culture. These things don't matter. Because why? We are all recipients of the grace of God. And one more issue, antinomianism in so much of evangelical churches, that is an opposition to the laws of God, a repudiation of God's law, somehow a disinterest in teaching everything Jesus has commanded us in all 66 books. That seems to be the issue that breaks down the evangelical church again and again. So here we are. We have to revive, yes, not by a pseudo-awakening by the woke crowd, but a real awakening by the Spirit of God convicting us of sin, pierced to the heart. What must I do to be saved? Crying out, God, save me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the kind of awakening we all need to have. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, friends. I'd encourage you to my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the approach that the Western Church has taken in abandoning the faith over the last 100 years or so. Get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.